720 WGN. We do have Hannah off today. Kevin Powell and Lauren Lapka and Kim and I are going to hold forth. And there's a Carnarvon wagon that you will not believe coming up. If you're watching us on the CLTV, if you're already listening to us on the web, you already know how to get here. I don't have to tell you how to get here. You've already gotten here. If you're watching on CLTV and you'd like to listen to the program right now on 720 AM, White Sox versus Cubs, on WGNRadio.com, the WGN app, and WGN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to this very radio program.
I prefer the TuneIn. I like the TuneIn.
I like the TuneIn, too.
Very nice. Easy to use.
Although I've learned so many things about the 60 Minute Men on TuneIn, I'm not quite sure. Quite sure what to do with it. All right, let's talk now. The Chicago Tribune has endorsed a mayoral candidate. Kristen McQuarrie, who is from the Tribune editorial board, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And all right, it's up to you right now, Kristen. Who has the Tribune endorsed?
The Tribune has endorsed former federal prosecutor Lori Lightfoot in the runoff between Lightfoot and Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle.
I wonder why it is that Lori Lightfoot is amassing all the endorsements, and the only major endorsement that I've seen so far for Tony Preckwinkle is Judge Mathis. Is there any explanation for that? How did you guys come to your decision?
You know, it's been really interesting watching Lori Lightfoot, because she was so far in the back of the pack in the beginning that everyone kind of referred to her as, you know, not one of the front runners, not an unlikely mayoral candidate, mayoral hopeful. She's really surged, and I think part of what her appeal is that she is very clean, she's unblemished in terms of all of these corruption charges. And so what was so harmful, I think, to Tony Preckwinkle and really many others in the field was that morning in November, the week after Thanksgiving, when the feds raided Ed Burke's City Hall office. And as soon as that butcher paper went over those windows, it was just a complete turning point in the mayoral race, and Lori Lightfoot has been able to capitalize on that.
Is it surprising, though? I mean, just as Chicagoans and people who cover this for a living, is it really that surprising that it took that moment to turn everybody's head? Because everybody talks about corruption, and we know it's there. We know it's endemic, and we know it's at the highest levels, including, you know, maybe it had worked its way to the finance committee of city council. But why do you think this was the, wait a second kind of moment?
I think because it was someone who is just a lot, you know, he's considered the council dean. This was a big fish. And I think what we've become accustomed to and really just kind of numb toward in the city are, you know, the give and take, regular run-of-the-mill type corruption like we just saw with Aaron Schock, a congressman, like we have with an alderman, Willie Cochran, who is probably going to...
We should point out that Aaron Schock, all the charges have been dropped against him.
Exactly, but when he was indicted, and it was the indictment was based on sort of what people consider to be just what politicians do, you know, misrepresenting how much money was in his campaign fund, etc.
Right.
Those charges have been dropped. But this was Ed Burke. I mean, this was someone who was really considered untouchable, and obviously got very comfortable in overlapping those roles with City Hall and his private law firm. And so, for the feds to finally get something like that, It was a shock to the system.
Even though he still got reelected, despite facing the charges.
I know.
Right?
Federal
extortion charges, and he won again.
He didn't even get in a runoff. Like, you would have thought he had two opponents and they split the vote, but still, to have him basically waltz back into the city council when lots of his colleagues, 15 of his colleagues, are all at least in runoffs, you know, they didn't reach that 50% mark. So that's the Southwest side for you, I guess. They like to have the clout and the influence, and they sent him back.
Yeah, what do you want? Some guy's not going to get stuff done? Have you seen what I really liked about that night is when all the press amassed on election night around his compound. There's no other way to describe Ed Burke's house other than compound, because there's a house and there's a separate building, right? There was like two things going on there.
It is
behind
a
gate.
It's a monstrosity, yeah.
Yeah, it's behind a gate on one of the streets that I'm not sure was ever a real Chicago street.
And he has such a, like, the perfect longtime Chicago politician look to him. Like, perfect. If you were to draw it up in a Hollywood script, that's what you would think a longtime Chicago politician would look like.
Central casting.
Yes. Right. When, you would. I mean, the pinstripe suit, the pocket square, the rosy cheeks, the combed back white hair. I've actually been told repeatedly he doesn't actually live full-time in that compound. They have, like, you know, he's married to a Supreme Court justice. I think they live probably somewhere downtown most of the time. But, yes, that is a very out-of-place, it looks like a three-story apartment building.
Yes.
At the end of a one-way street of bungalows.
Correct, yes. And then it kind of turns. It's kind of at an angle. Which is,
yes.
It doesn't even fit on the street exactly. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I know that the aldermanic prerogative is one that's been, you know, it's kind of how this town was built. But it is, no one ever stopped. No one ever stopped to think when they were building that, hey, you know, we should call somebody.
You know, do you think maybe he had some pull over, like, the different zoning permits and requirements? No, I'm sure not.
No, FAR and all the rest of those things that any other homeowner has to deal with here. But and there's an inspector who comes out and is sort of like, hey, listen, take a look. First of all, your basement is violating the FAR rules. You're now out of your 1,800 square feet, you are now using 600 of it in the basement. That's not right. So it's a different taxing zone. Now, however, this can be overlooked. I'm going to walk out of here right now, but then I'm going to come back to the front of the house a little later, and it could be overlooked, if you know what I mean. I mean, I could think of 600 reasons why it could be overlooked.
Classic overlooking.
Oh, my gosh. Ro, that is, you're frighteningly really on target with your little city worker inspector corruption bribery deal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I might have seen a few of those over the years. Never taken part in them. Never taking part in them.
I'm sure if you or I applied for a building that was 2 stories higher than is permitted, with a wrought iron fence that is 7 feet higher than is permitted, with a lock, I'm sure it would also fly through.
It looked like the green zone when the reporters were showing up, you know, like in Baghdad, where they had, remember, this, like, it was just, they built an entire walled city around the U.S. compound there. That's what it looked like to me when all the reporters were standing out waiting for Ed Burke, for the door to open, you know, it was like one of those gates, somewhere between the Green Zone and Graceland is what that thing reminded me of. And yes, yeah, it is a little unique. But I think the thing is that he was counting on, and I think a lot of other people have been counting on for years, certainly the great princes, if not kings of their wards, are counting on the fact that the media can't find their addresses. Because unless you're a police beat or fire beat reporter, and those are generally, you know, those are services more than they are the broadcast people, they never go out there, right?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I know we're making fun of his house, and it is very strange and off-putting, but this it's also just symbolic of, you know, here is someone who gets driven around, who has bodyguards, who lives behind a protected gate, who had, 28 firearms that he had to turn over when he was arrested. Well, I'm sorry, was not arrested, when he was charged, and yet we tolerate that. And I mean, he lives in just a stone's throw away from a pretty struggling, low economic area of the city.
Which would make the argument for why he thinks he needs 28 firearms too. And the thing, here was the problem, Kristen, though, it's an important point to make. The security people that were around him were being paid for by us when he didn't really need to have them, and taken off of the remember, these were police, this was a police situation. Right, and these were guys who were like detailed, but not detailed. And you're like, yeah, I mean, the Chicago Police could use every single cop they got. I mean, if you want to use CPD for a reason, I'm not sure that the finance chairman of the city council is to get driven around by them is exactly the right reason. I understand the mayor. I understand if there's an active threat on somebody, I totally understand that. But you know, for 30 years.
I know. I don't know. This is why we're so screwed up sometimes as a city, right?
This is why Judge Mathis has endorsed Tony Preckwinkle and the Tribune has endorsed Lori Lightfoot. I think it's what you've just told us here. I think that's the most important thing is that people want now maybe it is time for nobody sent.
That is kind of how Lori Lightfoot is. She's sort of Tony Preckwinkle's biggest nightmare in the sense that as a former federal prosecutor and as someone who's not been engaged in county politics, she doesn't have that baggage. She's sort of a clean shot.
Yeah. But can she find, because part of the issue here is you do still got to get stuff done. And when you get down it at the granular level, the ward or even certain precincts or departments that we never think about. When, you know, I always talk about the Chicago Police Department being the most, probably the most important, you know, single item in terms of the city, right? It's like the one that everybody focuses on and should focus on, and that's day to day. Fire department being second, obviously, in a close second, but there's fewer fires, right? And so it's really about the healthcare system for the fire department more than it is anything else. Still, critically important. But we always stop to think about don't think about the water department. Because let me tell you, what is really the most important department by the time it's all said and done? You get streets of sand, you got to get places and all that. It's all good. But we got to have water, right?
Shout out to all the water department employees, Ro.
Yeah, that's not where I'm going.
I like giving them up.
That's not where I'm going with this, Kristen.
Okay, where?
I'm saying that nobody pays attention at the granular level, like who those people are, right? Who are the bosses there? How did they get their jobs? Right. And all of those kinds of things that go on. And it's departments like that that very rarely ever make the news unless there's some, you know, there was apparently some less than sensitive emails flying around inside the water department a couple of months ago or a year ago or whatever it was. So that made the news. But, you know, you never hear about this stuff. Right. So
no, you're right.
The question
is, there are like 21 or 22 different city agencies and most of them we never hear about.
Right. And some of them are critically important. Right. So that's my point. And we don't know who they are. And so if nobody sent becomes the mayor of Chicago and then they call in, you know, some sort of a commissioner and they go, oh, we're going to change commissioners. How are you going to get a commissioner to go into a situation that didn't come up through that situation? And that becomes a problem.
Yes, she's not coming in with any sort of a patronage army that is responsive to her. But you know what? She's got 4 years to build it up. So we'll see. It is going to be mayor of Chicago. She's starting to take campaign contributions right now from groups that are sort of playing against that independent label of hers. So she's kind of walking a little bit of a tightrope.
Yeah. Kristen, thank you very much. Appreciate your
time. Thanks, Ro.
Kristen McQuarrie. There she is, Chicago Tribune, editorial board member. And yes, the Tribune gave their endorsement to Lori Lightfoot. But once again, big day for Tony Preckwinkle because she got Judge Mathis's. And that's, you know, he's a judge. Is he really a judge? Does anybody know if he was a judge? Was he a judge? All right.
We'll look into that.
Kim, can we do the news with you right now?
We can.